Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
So yesterday was the one-year anniversary of the hiring of Joe Douglas, and Rich has a good article up on ESPN.com about the positives and negatives, where we are with the Jets after year one. So we welcome you aboard, Rich Cimini. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So in this article, the first kind of bullet point headline that you have is he's restored calm and credibility, which I think is probably the most important thing. Can you walk us through how he's done that in 1 year since taking over for the Jets?
Right, because I think all Jet fans certainly remember like the chaos and the dysfunction when they announced, 3 weeks after the draft last year that Maccagnan was out, and it just looked like a rudderless situation. So I think, probably the best thing that Douglas has done is that he came in, surrounded himself with people he knows, like Phil Savage, basically his, consigliere, and Chad Alexander, a guy from Baltimore. So he brought in people he knows to create, cohesion in the front office, and also a guy he didn't know, Rex Hogan, who had been with the Jets, then went to the Colts, and then came back. So I think he wanted to get a pair of eyes, in the front office who, he wasn't familiar with. It's always good to have outside opinions. And so it started there, and I think we know that Gase wanted Douglas to be the GM. He basically handpicked Douglas, so I think that relationship has fostered a good relationship between the coaching staff and front office, and that did not exist under Maccagnan and Bowles. There was just from talking to the former people in the organization, there was always a sense of you have to watch your back. This wasn't good karma, continuity, chemistry is the word, I think, the best word, between the Maccagnan front office and the Bowles coaching staff, and obviously came to a breaking point. But now, I think with Gase and Douglas, you do have that cohesion, which is so important in building an organization.
Yeah, but Rich, how much of that has to do with the fact that the Jets run the organization they want the way that they do, as far as coach and general manager are on equal plane? And
well,
both answer the owner.
They've been doing that way for, under the previous administration as well. Maccagnan and Bowles had the same sort of setup, both guys reporting to the owner. I'm not a huge fan of that, and I've, said that in the past, but that's the way the Jets do business. So, Joe and Adam are on the same level. One is not the boss, so they're both reporting to Christopher Johnson. And, I think Adam is more motivated, for him this time because, Adam did not get along with Maccagnan. I don't think he wanted Maccagnan around. And, it was a power struggle, but he got Joe in there. And I think Adam knows he's not going to get another GM after Joe Douglas. So Adam's, career professional survival depends on making it work with Joe Douglas.
Rich, I know you're outlining the dynamic between Adam Gase and Joe Douglas and how Gase was instrumental in the hiring of Douglas, but this feels like a make or break year for Adam Gase in terms of being able to get this team turned around. I guess my question is, exactly how much leash does Adam Gase have coming into 2020?
Well, I mean, if he goes 1-7 again, like he did last year, I think there's going to be a different outcome. I mean, there was no chance that Christopher and the Johnson family was going to fire Adam in the middle of his first season. So I know there was an outcry last year when things got really ugly. And so they stuck by him. But it's different in the second year. He's had, two full off seasons now, and the expectations are higher, 7-9 was a good way to end, considering they were 1-7. But 7-9 to me doesn't cut it anymore. This team has gone 9 straight years out of the playoffs. When is enough is enough? The fans have had enough, and I think a lot of the Gase question hinges on Sam Darnold. Is Darnold going to flatline, or is he going to continue to improve? He made minor improvements last year, not a big step. I think we want to see that big step this year. So if Sam takes a step backward and the team is 7-9, I think Adam Gase is in serious trouble then.
Rich Cimini with us here, 98.7 ESPN. More about the article you have on Joe Douglas on ESPN.com is that he attacked the number one problem, and he did. I mean, how you can be a Jets fan and not appreciate what he did with the offensive line, which was clearly broken last year, is beyond me. I mean, he spent his first-round pick on it. He spent legitimate money in free agency. Rich, you look at the offensive line, and it's so much better than it was last year right now, at least on paper.
Yeah, on paper. You know, I don't know if so much is a strong word. It's going to be interesting. I mean, because they really added one legitimate starter, and Connor McGovern is a legitimate starting center in the NFL, and I think that will help, especially at that position, because it's the center could really galvanize the offensive line. The Jets have been playing musical centers for a few years, so that I think will help a lot. But they signed George Fant for $9 million a year. He basically was the sixth lineman in Seattle. I think there's a good chance he'll end up starting with the Jets. They drafted Becton. I think that was a good move. I mean, that will be an upgrade. But, you know, the other spots, you know, Greg Van Roten, basically a replacement-level player who will be competing with Brian Winters. They signed a couple other backup-type guys. They brought Alex Lewis back for $6 million a year, which is a lot for basically a replacement-level player. So, you know, I think they'll be better at center, and I think they'll be much better at left tackle in time when Becton gets comfortable. But you know, I think to say that they're automatically going to be like this great offensive line out of the gate is a little bit misleading.
Yeah, especially under the current circumstances. So here's where your article gets me excited, Rich. They pick up Denzel Mims, and again, with no OTAs and everything else, rookie wide receiver, probably going to be tough, especially early on. You said get ready for some trade rumors as far as wide receivers are concerned. What did you have in mind, just to get me a little bit excited here on a Monday?
Well, I think the wide receiver position will become Joe Douglas's new offensive line, if you know what I mean. I think,
yep.
You know, last year there was so much of a focus. Even in training camp last year, Joe started working on the line with the Ryan Khalil move, which, you know, obviously did not work out. But he did get Alex Lewis in a trade last summer, and that turned out to be a good trade. So I think wide receiver will gain that kind of attention this summer because I think they left themselves short at receivers. The one criticism I have of Douglas, I thought they should have drafted another receiver, and they still need to add a veteran. And there's just not a lot out there. I mean, Demaryius Thomas is still out there. I guess he's a possibility. He's got some cranky knees, though. I'm not sure how healthy he's going to be. You know, the one name you keep hearing is Alshon Jeffrey in Philadelphia because I don't think he has a future there. Gase knows him from Chicago. So, you know, but is he healthy? He had foot surgery. He's got this massive cap situation that the Eagles have to deal with. So those, I just think throughout the summer, unless Mims is just incredibly lights out of the gate, then you're going to be hearing a lot of stuff about, you know, available receivers.
Rich, when it comes to the Jets 2020 outlook, the elephant in the room is Jamal Adams, him wanting a new contract. And I know that Joe Douglas has been on record saying that he wants Jamal to be a Jet for life, but they haven't, you know, initiated contract negotiations. So I guess I have to ask, do we have any updates on that front, and how do you see that playing out this summer?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the story of the summer. You know, I think Jamal is a pretty resolute guy, you know, can be stubborn at times, and he's not afraid to express his opinions. And the ball's in his court to see if he stages a holdout, you know, come late July, assuming they start on time. I don't think he's going to get a new contract this year, Chris. I mean, I think from the people I talk to, I think the Jets would really rather wait to 2021 to do it before he goes into the last year of his contract. You know, that's all the information I get seems to point in that direction. Adams, he wants a new deal. He's on record as saying he wants a new deal by the start of this offseason. I mean, by the start of this regular season. I just don't see it happening. So you have two sharp differences of opinion, and I think ultimately he'll probably end up playing for the contract that he's under right now.
Rich Cimini with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Rich, I saw rumors this weekend that the Jets are looking to coax Kyle Long out of retirement and bring him to this team, and I'm not saying that's a bad idea, but I have this flashback of what happened with Ryan Khalil, and, you know, to be frank, how that did not work out at all. So is this, in your mind, the right thing to do? Do you think realistically this could happen? And do you have the same concerns about what happened last year with Khalil?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, even Long tweeted or actually told a reporter in Chicago that there was no truth to those rumors whatsoever. So I think he's retired. I mean, I think he's even said he lost about 65 pounds since he's stopped playing. I think maybe the Jets made a phone call earlier in the offseason because there is some connection there. Gase had, was in Chicago. Dow Loggins was in Chicago, their offensive coordinator. Rex Hogan, assistant GM, was in Chicago when Long was there. So there are some connections, but that, I think, was an earlier phone call. I do not see the Jets signing him, nor do I see him coming out of retirement.
Rich Cimini joins us in the show. Rich, I'd just like to apologize for the show, for Dave's awful question. I apologize for that.
How's that an awful question?
Ridiculous question.
Why is it ridiculous?
I mean, because he didn't do any background. The guy's lost 60 pounds. What position was he playing? Tight end? It's a ridiculous question.
Rich, was it a legitimate question or not? You be the judge.
Well, I mean, it was in the news last week because the Daily News reported it, but I'm just telling you, Long came out emphatically and shot it down. His exact words were, there's no truth to it whatsoever.
All right, and so, I think the Jets fan would like to hear that. I'm sure that there are Jets fans out there that wanted the question to be asked, and I was the mouthpiece for the Jet.
Yeah, I was going to ask Rich next if, once Joe Thomas is done with the Titan games, if maybe he'll come out of retirement.
That's up to you. Yeah. I didn't see the headline for that 2 days ago, though.
I mean, the Ryan Khalil thing did not go over too well last year, and you would think that Joe learned a lesson. It's just hard. I mean, Chris could speak to this. To come out of retirement, and actually Khalil wasn't in retirement that long. I mean, he just had stopped playing after the previous season. But even that was a struggle for him. I mean, you guys remember it. He couldn't even get on the field in the preseason. After 2 weeks of practice, he still wasn't ready to play in preseason games. So it's not an easy task for a lineman because most of these guys lose a ton of weight after they're done playing. And, Joe Douglas is a pretty thorough guy. I'm sure he's looking under every stone to see if he can find players. And maybe he did make a phone call, earlier in the offseason. But I do not think that's a viable situation.
All right, Rich. So last one for me. You mentioned in the article and you bring up, how poorly the Jets have drafted. I mean, is that for you one of the biggest challenges that Joe Douglas faces? Is, trying to build a team through the draft as opposed to spending all your money on free agents?
Absolutely. Single biggest reason why the Jets have been just so bad over the last, 9 years out of the playoffs. I noted in the article that of the top 10 salary cap figures right now, only three of them are players that the Jets drafted, and I think the highest was Quinnen Williams at number 7. Darnold was 8, and I think Brian Winters was 10. So basically it shows where the players are coming from and what they're spending their money on, which is basically overspending for someone else's cast-off. And that is not the way to build an organization. Now, I'm not putting that on Joe Douglas. He walked into this situation, but his task is to draft better. Look, Maccagnan didn't do a good job. Before that, Itzik didn't do a good job. The 2014 draft is gone. Unless you count Quincy Anunua, who is on the PUP list, but that draft is completely gone. 12 guys just up and gone. So it's been awful over the last decade, and it has to get better. And that's Joe Douglas's number one job, is to just draft the talent and have the coaches to develop it.
Rich, over the weekend, Adrian Peterson went on the record and said that he anticipates that a lot of players will protest during the national anthem in the upcoming season. Now, I know the Jets are in a bit of an interesting situation as their owner is a current ambassador under this administration, and President Trump has let it be known his stance in regard to the protest during the anthem. Do you have any insight as to how the Jets might potentially handle that, or do you have an inkling as to how they might try to approach handling players that want to protest during the anthem this upcoming season?
I was over the weekend with all this story is so prevalent. I actually went back and checked what Woody Johnson said, and I remember I asked him a question before the 16 season about the Kaepernick situation was just so fresh at the time, and I asked him how he would respond if one of his players took a knee during the anthem, and his response, this is not a direct quote, but it's pretty close. He said, you know, I wouldn't be the first way I would handle a situation if I were a player. He goes, I'd want to sit down and talk to that player about why he was doing that. And so I think Woody made it pretty clear that he would not be in favor of a player taking a knee. And so Woody's coming back soon. I mean, no one knows for sure. It could be after the November elections. You know, he'll be back with the team at some point and back in a very prominent role, you know, like owner. And, you know, Christopher, his younger brother, will stay on in a prominent role. And I think Christopher's, you know, position is different from his brother's. So it's going to be a fascinating dynamic. I thought Christopher handled it really well a couple of years ago. I thought the Jets as a team were pretty unified with that, and they all locked arms throughout the season, and Christopher stood with them on the sideline. And I know from talking to players that they were so impressed by the way he handled that, and his willingness to seek out their opinions really resonated in the locker room. So what happens if Woody's the owner of the team? I don't think it would be this season, but, you know, if he's back next year, what happens then? That's a great question, Chris. I don't know how to answer it because it's a variable that we're not sure about right now, and when Woody Johnson is coming back.
All right. Well, Rich, listen, we appreciate a couple minutes. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk to you as we inch towards the hopeful return of the start of the NFL season. Good stuff as always.
Well, let's hope. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Our fingers crossed. Absolutely. That, of course, is a terrific job, as always, by Rich Cimini. How about this tweet, guys, from Carl Ravitch just moments ago? MLB has made a proposal to the players, 75% prorated salary, 76-game season, playoff pool money, no draft pick compensation for signing a player, season finishes September 27th, postseason ends at the end of October, significant move towards players' demands, and an effort to play more games. So I don't know that this gets done, but at least it feels like we're heading in the right direction here with the newest offer from MLB.
Yeah, I was going to give you Bob Nightingale's tweet. I mean, he said that obviously this is a critical week if they still want to have an 82-game regular season completed by September 27th. He said there will definitely be a season, but the unknown is player pay and how many games. So pretty optimistic.
That's the owners tremendous. Had this in their back pocket the entire time, though.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
They knew this is where they were going to get to. They were just waiting for, you know, the tone of the conversations regarding the issues that they were negotiating to change. That's all they wanted, and it absolutely did. Because now even I'm saying the players need to give a little bit and come off of the pro rata salaries. And there's nobody that's more pro player than me. So
Nightingale did have an updated tweet, though, Rick, which he said the MLBPA considers MLB's latest offer a, quote, step backwards. They guaranteed 50% pay with possibility of earning 75% prorated salary. Also in proposal, per Carl Ravitch, ESPN, 76-game season, playoff money, and no draft pick compensation for free agency. Look, I don't know how this is a step backwards. It kind of feels like a step forwards, but this is the week. I heard Jeff Passan was on yesterday on ESPN Radio, and he said this is the week. If we don't get this done this week, he doesn't envision that they're going to be able to get this thing done.
Yeah, but it goes back to what I keep saying. I don't understand. So even if there is, let's just say, for example, that they do have a season, and part of this new proposal is that they would receive 50% of the pro rata if there's no postseason. If the concern is there's going to be another wave of this and they may lose the postseason, you're trying to keep players safe, right? You're trying to make sure that no one gets COVID-19. Why did we move so quickly away from having two bubble cities in areas that aren't affected as nearly as bad as some areas in the country?
Right, because that seems like the safest thing to do.
I mean, if you're trying to protect the players and you're worried about the postseason, put them in places where you have some control over where they're going and how they're getting back and forth to these places, as opposed to jumping on planes and being in different cities where, I mean, New York being one of the cities where you got guys going from the ballpark to wherever the hell they're going in a city that's been at the eye of this pandemic. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense.
Yeah, you would think they would try to adopt a model like the NHL or like the NBA. That seems like,
especially if you're only playing 70 something games.
Right.
Especially if you're only playing 70 something games.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And you probably, I mean, my nephew just started hockey camp today in Florida. I mean, it's like a different, I mean, it's like being in a different place in Florida.
Yes.
Like, why, do it places where they're going to be closer to being open, that you could actually have fans in seats if you're worried about ticket revenue and everything else. Stupid. I mean, just wasting time.
That's what they're doing. I mean, you would figure
you should have told them initially.
Started quickly.
But you should have told them initially, hey, listen, we don't want to play, we're not going to play 162. We're probably not going to play, we'd rather play, you know, somewhere around 70 something games. And we'd like to keep it as safe as possible. I mean, that's a whole different conversation than having me in one spot for 162 games as opposed to 75 games, isn't it?
Yeah, you're talking about being gone for 3 months. Isn't that pretty much what happens during spring training? You're gone for 2 months?
This seems like the biggest cluster of all time.
Well, if I would have asked you before all of this happened, which is the sport that's going to be the slowest to return and to figure out a way, it would be baseball.
I guess in hindsight now it's baseball just because of the circumstances with the CBA coming up after next year and everything else. But still, I mean, it seemed like too perfect of an opportunity with nothing going on that baseball could actually seize the moment and be the first on television so we could watch.
Yeah, well, I think that ship has sailed now. This is all about just trying not to do any damage that has any long-term effects to the sport.
Right.
You know, the opportunity to be viewed as a hero and be one of the first team sports to be back, that's gone now.
Yeah, NBA is going to be back first. We know the NHL is going to probably be back a little bit after that. And baseball's just got to return. They have to figure out a way to get this done. You cannot not play for the entirety of 2020.
Did you see what Buster Olney said this weekend? That he would bet the farm that there wouldn't be baseball in 2020?
Which is a scary thought.
It's scary, Dave, but I mean, I told you guys the last few weeks, I've been feeling more and more like they're not going to play. At least with this latest bit of news, it feels like, okay, maybe there should be some optimism. Maybe the owners are, you know, putting something on the table that's a little bit closer to where the players are.
I hope they can figure out a way. It would be such a bad look for this league if they don't. At a time when we're so desperate for any semblance of entertainment, to not come back and play would be such a bad look for them.
I don't think they care about how it looks, Dave.
Did you see Joel Sherman's recent tweet?
No, what did he say?
Said MLB is not describing this latest offer as a last offer, but are standing by the March 26th agreement that says it allows Commissioner Manfred to start a season as long as salaries are full prorated. That would be 50 games probably. That is becoming more real as time runs out on more games. Mm. It's almost like they have all the numbers worked out with no fans in seats, and the number they feel most comfortable with is fully prorated salaries at 50 games.
At 50
like
games,
that's
yep.
That's the number they want.
Yep, that's what they want. His most recent one from Joel Sherman, MLB determined to play games this year. The way the sides are entrenched, I'd suspect an agreement for more than 50 games at full proration is going to be difficult. So
it's going to end up being 65 games, watch. It's going to be 65 games full prorated.
Full prorated 65?
I think that's what it's going to end up being. Because people, God forbid you play 50 games. I wouldn't even watch. Stop. I don't care how many games you're going to watch. It's ridiculous.
So what happens from 50 to 65? I mean, yes, it's better, but is it that much better?
Well, it's better for the players because they're going to make more money. But as far as me watching it, it's going to be a sprint. I mean, I don't want to hear you. You can't be a hypocrite and complain, oh, the dog days of summer. There's too many games. And then all of a sudden you got this full-on sprint to the finish line with the playoffs. Oh, by the way, extended playoffs, and they're not changing the playoff format. So, I mean, come on.
I got to tell you, there's something cool about it. If you had a sprint of 65 games and every baseball game is must-watch, I'm not saying it's ideal, but there's it's interesting. It's exciting. It'll add more juice to every baseball game, that's for sure.
What at the moment is ideal?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing in life, period, is ideal.
Yeah. So the whole notion that I would rather have no baseball than 50 games it makes absolutely no sense to me.
Ridiculous.
I don't care how many games you play. If the Mets win the championship, if it's 50-65 and the Mets go through the playoffs and win the championship, you better believe I'm going to celebrate the championship.
Absolutely. With a mask, of course, but you'll
yeah, but I've no clothes. Yeah. I'll be naked with the mask on.
Sure. That's fine. No one will know who it is.
Oh, you'll know.
Oh, we'll know.
Oh, you'll know.
All right, in these trying times, important to remember we pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send us an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. Everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. What can you do? Here's what you can do. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. Now, before we get to CMT, Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer is reporting the NFL has floated the idea of starting training camps as soon as mid-July. In his article, it says the move is to, quote, give players a chance to get back in football shape after an offseason of virtual work. So, I mean, we'll see. Scheduled to start on July 28th for most teams, training camp. We'll see if we can get it a couple weeks earlier. And I guess it just depends on the spread and numbers of where we are with COVID. But, Chris, I'd have to think that it would be good news for the players to potentially get back a little earlier to get themselves into shape.
Well, I think guys have probably been doing what they can on their own, but there's nothing like being in an NFL facility, being able to go through an NFL strength program. And so if you can give them more time to get acclimated to, you know, football movements and preparing for the rigors of an NFL season, I think that would be better for the players in terms of prevention of injury. But, I mean, it's not like we haven't seen an offseason where the players have spent the entire time outside of the building and then been able to return to training camp and be ready to go. I mean, the year we won the Super Bowl in 2011, there was no off-season program because we had the lockout. So I just, you know, that didn't necessarily affect our readiness or preparedness to be able to play. It was just the onus was on the individual players to get it done. So if you have a more veteran-laden team, that could lead to you having a little bit more of an advantage just because those guys understand what it takes mm-hmm. to get their bodies ready. But I'm not concerned about players being ready to play football when the season kicks off on September 10th.
All right, Rick, you ready?
I'm ready. The question is, are you ready?
Oh, I've been I couldn't – Monday couldn't get here quickly enough for me just so we could get right here to this moment.
Look at Santiago with the music for the segment.
Beautiful.
Just to let people know there's actually going to be a segment, as if the name wasn't enough. Here we go, boys. CMT, little cuddle, marry, trash. Now, I was going to actually have a fun CMT on a Monday, ooh, which is unusual because we usually keep those for a Friday, just because the K-Show was so controversial. Did you happen to catch the K-Show?
I did not see what happened.
So Michael
but I,
had his
I will
list.
Tell you this. I know what the top five is for Don today. He was texting me yesterday, so I have full knowledge. I would never do it, but I could even go on air and give you the 5-to-1 answers.
No, don't give me. So Don is now taking over the – Don's going back to his list. So Don's taking over list duties today then?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, because Kay's list on Friday was controversial. He went top five candy bars.
Oh, I did hear about this, yeah. And people were horrified at his list.
We didn't have Snickers on the list.
Well, I mean, it's completely delegitimized.
Well, that's what they were saying. He didn't have Snickers on the list. Kit Kat wasn't on the list. Twix wasn't on the list.
What did he have on the list? Was the Crunch Bar
that's
on the list?
That's a great question.
The Crunch Bar was, in fact, on the list. Yeah, he had Hershey on the list. Crunch Bar was number one, I believe.
Listen, I love the Crunch Bar. It's delicious.
No, I'm not opposed to the Crunch Bar either. I just think, I mean, as far as candy bar lists are concerned, I think Snickers probably has to be on the list. Not probably.
I agree with you 100%. What, do you remember the list in totality?
It was Hershey. It was Crunch Bar. It was Mounds.
Mounds?
Yeah. I don't know about this list. I don't know about this.
The $100,000 bar.
Oh.
Is that 100 grand?
100 grand, yep.
Yeah.
Now he's clearly just not a candy aficionado.
No.
I think he just likes straight chocolate. I get the feeling that he doesn't the accoutrement. Like, he's not a big condiment guy.
He doesn't like the condiment of the candy.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So it's controversial, which is, I mean, that's what a list is for, right? I mean, controversy. Okay. So here we go with some CMT. I was going to go football. I said, you know what? I'm not going to go football. And then I came to the realization, we're going to have golf this week. I was going to go with a golf CMT today.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know that I'm going to be properly prepared for this, but okay.
No, I kept it simple. I kept it simple. Now, here's the format of this CMT. The question is now, I'm going to give you three different golfers. We're going to go through a couple different ones. Mm-hmm. Most likely to win a major this year. Most likely to win a major. Not just a tournament, a major this year.
Okay.
So I'll start you off easy. I'm going to give you Rory McIlroy, mm-hmm. DJ Dustin Johnson, mm-hmm. and Brooks Koepka, most likely to win a major.
All right. I mean, again, I'm not equipped to play this game properly, and I think, Chris, your answers are probably more legitimized than mine, but I'll marry Brooks Koepka there.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
He's just at a different level, seemingly in my mind, than those other two guys are right now. And he's won, if I'm correct, and I believe I am, majors more recently than the other two. And you guys can correct me wherever I'm wrong, and I'm sure I will be multiple times during this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna marry Brooks Koepka. I don't know. I have no rhyme or reason to go with. I guess I'll cuddle Dustin Johnson.
Bombs and hellacious season.
Terrible call.
I tell you, I don't feel good about it. Although I do like bombs after Dustin Johnson because he's a big hitter. And I will trash Roy McIlroy.
Look at this garbage!
So I did terribly? Is that what you're saying?
No, all of a sudden you turned into Bill Murray, though. Oh, Dustin, big hitter. Big hitter, Dustin Johnson. Big hitter
with a lot of heavy stuff for quite a while.
That wasn't terrible. You can't trash Rory. I mean, however you want to cuddle or marry, but you can't trash. I don't think you can trash Rory.
Okay, that's fine.
What do you think, Kathy?
I would agree with that, Ricky. I would probably marry Brooks Koepka, and I'm going to cuddle right up to Rory McIlroy. As much as Dustin Johnson is a big hitter, it's just something about it, man. I don't know. I don't know about him. He's not the guy that I want to hang my hat on to have to win a major. I just don't see that. I just feel like those other two guys are a little bit different when it comes to being at their best when their best is required. So for that reason, I'll trash DJ.
Firmly. Look at this garbage. Look at this garbage.
That's a tough first one. This one, David,
I'm going to give you an easy first one. And then you finish and you go, boy, that was a tough first one.
Hold on. But we didn't even get yours, Ricky. Ricky?
Oh, in this case, who's going to win a major this year?
Yeah.
I'm going to marry Rory. I'm going to cuddle Koepka, and I'm going to, I hate to do it, but I'm going to trash DJ.
Okay.
He's got a lot going on. I know how the legs, he's been home all this time, how the legs are going to be coming out the gate. He's got some other things to keep him busy. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give you Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, and Jordan Spieth.
Is it the same question?
No, yeah, of course it's the same question.
I don't know.
This is a nice tight segment. Most likely to win a major.
All right. Chris, do I start this one off, Dave?
Yeah, yes, because Dave is completely in over his head.
Okay.
I feel like you did this CMT solely to make me look foolish.
No, you asked for different sports. I mean, I could have done an NFL one. I mean, it's not that relevant because there's nothing going on. Golf is actually being played. Did you want a UFC one?
No, I think I'd be in the same boat with that.
Okay. Did you want a NASCAR one? I mean, what are you asking for? I'm giving you name. I'm not in the weeds with names either. It's not like I'm giving you like random names you don't know.
UFC 250 was good this weekend, by the way. Was good. But anyway,
women I would never fight. I would put Amanda Nunez on the top of the list.
Yes.
She is bad to the bone.
100%.
Oh my goodness.
Felicia Spencer had no shot. She had no shot. But back to CMT. Ricky, I am going to marry Jordan Spieth.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry
short games on the tour. So I love how he is with his approach irons and how he is on the green. So I'm going to marry Spieth. I'm going to cuddle Fowler. Just
bombs
I need
and
Fowler to win a major. Like, we need that to happen, don't we?
Yes.
Like, it just feels like that's the one thing that's missing from his career. So I'm going to cuddle that, and I'm going to trash Justin Thomas.
Firmly. Look at this garbage. Look at this garbage.
All right.
Come on, Dave. You can do this.
Ricky
Fowler,
let me confirm this before I start. Ricky Fowler has never won a major. Is that right?
That is correct.
All right. So I don't know why he would start this year. I'm gonna trash Ricky Fowler.
Just for
past performance.
Look at this garbage.
I'm going to cuddle Justin Thomas.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And Jordan Spieth, who has had success in the past. I will go with the track record, the history of the success, and I will marry Jordan Spieth.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I would say that's brutal, just because of the three, Jordan Spieth's game has been bad, really bad. I mean, there's been a lot going on with him. But the fact is, he's really good at Augusta, so I guess you could make an argument for that. I would love to see Ricky Fowler win. So I would marry Justin Thomas. He's one of my favorite golfers. I'll cuddle Ricky Fowler, and just because his game has been bad, I'll trash Jordan Spieth. I hate to, but I would trash Jordan Spieth. All right, here we go. Make the right decision here, Dave, because the name I'm going to give you, it means a lot to me. I'm going to give you Jason Day. I'm going to get in the weeds a little bit for Dave. Xander Schauffele and Francesco Molinari. Frankie, as his friends like to call him.
I mean, I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, you got to keep one. One's a friend of the show. So, I mean, regardless of I'm giving you a layup. One of them you got to keep.
All right. Well, I will. I'm going to marry Xander Schauffele because the name is so good.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Start his first name with an X is a rarity. So I'm gonna marry him. And then just because you've golfed with him in the past, I will cuddle Molinari.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I will trash Jason Day.
Firmly. Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
I mean, we have to marry Francesco Molinari, right? He's a friend of the show.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
We have to marry him, so that's off the top. I am going to cuddle up to Jason Day.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I'm going to trash Xander Schauffele.
Interesting. Garbage. Look at this garbage.
Yeah, Frankie's my guy. You guys know that. I'm going to marry Frankie. I'm going to cuddle Xander, and I'm going to I hate to do it. He's been injured, though. He's been banged up, Jason Day. I'm going to trash Jason Day. And here you go. The reason why I did this CMT was first and foremost to embarrass Dave. And secondly,
I know what your ultimate goal here was.
To get Tiger Woods involved in the show. So I'm going to give you El Tigre, Phil Mickelson, and Sergio Garcia.
I mean, I will... I'll marry Tiger.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
He won the Masters last year. He's terrific on that course. Correct me if I'm wrong, he's won a major the most recently of that trio, yes?
That would be correct, yes.
So I will marry Tiger. And I'm going to cuddle Phil. I love Phil.
Nice. Bombs and my favorite hellacious golfer. Seeds.
He's just so much fun to watch. And a puncher's chance on Augusta as well. So I will cuddle Phil, and I will trash Sergio.
Firmly. Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
I feel like you and Phil probably look similar with your shirts off.
Wow.
Little doughy.
Well, I mean, does golf
did
in
you,
a
you have
shirt.
Bad dreams about me this weekend? Like, what happened that your goal on this Monday was to just take endless shots at me? What happened?
Nothing happened. I didn't just come out of the gate strong on a Monday.
I mean, really? It's like a tremendous hatred for me.
This is your fault. You're
How
the one that said,
what
give
did
me,
I do? Just,
because every single time we do CMT, you always say, well, let's get some other sports involved.
Well, I didn't realize you were going to go to golf.
Golf is the only thing on. I mean, golf is on this week. You're going to get live golf starting Thursday. I'm not going to give you. I'm not going to give you four straight days of golf. I'm going to give you one day of golf.
All right.
You haven't been bad.
Xander
I mean, you've been all right.
I mean, come on. You think anybody out there can really break down?
He's a terrific golfer.
Xander game.
He's good.
I'm sure he's great.
Anybody he's great. That's on the tour is good.
Yeah, levels are good though. There's levels. Yeah. Are good.
How'd I do with that last one? By the way, did I do okay?
Yeah, I would go the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the same as well.
So we're marrying Tiger. Phil looks like he's gay. Phil looks like a good cuddler. I'm going to cuddle Phil and then trash Sergio. Plus, Sergio tried to hit on my wife when we were at a golf
course.
Really? Tournament. Yeah, I'm standing right there. And he's trying to pick her up on the golf course. Embarrassed.
So you were insulted or did you feel like, you know, how did you feel in that
like
moment?
I was going to fight him. Like I wanted to fight him.
You wanted to fight him.
Yes,
so
I wanted to punch him right in the face.
She's with you. Now, is she your wife at the time?
I don't even know if she was my wife. No, not my wife yet.
But
very
clearly
serious
the two of you were together. And he just thinks he together. Can do whatever he wants, and he tries to get in the way of that.
Exactly right.
Bad
like
guy.
He was just going to all
so
of a sudden
So you didn't feel like it was a
feet.
Compliment that he found your wife attractive?
After the fact, but in the moment, no, I was furious. Furious. Just blatantly trying to pick her up right in front of me. Like, wasn't even sneaky about it. Just right in my face.
You know, it's interesting that you would say that, because we're talking to Sherry yesterday. A big time celebrity attempted to do the same thing to my wife when she was on a date with someone else.
Peter Rosenberg.
I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you who it is next. you want to tease that out? I'm not exaggerating. I will tell you who, and you, a big time celebrity. Big time.
Big time celebrity. All right. Yeah. Tease it.
So this huge celebrity attempted to pick up my wife before I ever met her. I got a little bad news, guys. I got a text from the wife moments ago. She said, I don't want you mentioning who this person was on air. I said, but why not? She said, I don't want you to. I said, it's funny. Be entertaining who hit on you back in the day. Because I would just prefer not. Please don't say it. I said, okay. So I apologize for getting excited and not being able to share that with you. But I guess I'm not allowed to.
What happens if we guess it, though? Let's play the pyramid.
It's not me. I'm not allowed.
Corey Feldman. Is it Corey Feldman?
It's bigger than Corey Feldman.
Bigger than Corey Feldman.
Way bigger than Corey Feldman.
Way bigger.
Way bigger.
Size-wise or star-wise?
Star.
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas, like 40 years older than my wife. No.
I don't know, Dave.
Wait. No. 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 Now, he's a big
Rob
star.
Rob Lowe.
No. Because I don't think I'd be with her today if it was. I can't tell you
no,
the
there's
answer.
No chance.
I can't tell you.
Does he look like you at all?
No.
I was going to say
this movies or
TV, like
this
is going to be futile because I can't tell you.
What's the lane like that we this could person guess it. Is in?
The was lane? It a restaurant?
No food involved.
Yeah, the lane. Yeah, actor, television,
music.
I'm going to leave about? It at this.
No,
I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay,
and then that's it. If you guys want to know off the air and promise not to bring it on the air, then that's fine. But I will leave it at this. He has his own show. And I will leave it at that. Big time celebrity has his own show.
Is it we'll a late it night that. Show?
Yeah, that's for you to decide.
DiPietro, Kathy, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.